Ever more people will be searching for affordable housing, especially the poor. But what will they do? Many will turn to the government for help. A controversial article in the Atlantic Monthly magazine says one housing policy meant to help might actually be creating more violent neighborhoods. Hanna Rosen is the author of American Murder Mystery. Good morning, Hanna. Thank you for joining us.
Sure, my pleasure.
And what conclusions did you come to about public housing and crime in Memphis?
Well, I came to the conclusion that there was definitely a connection between those two, that while it was nobody's fault and nobody looked out for it, and there were a lot of great things that came about as a result of Section 8 vouchers and breaking down the housing projects, that basically it had this unintended effect of tipping a lot of other neighborhoods in the, let's say, around the city, the sort of first ring of suburbs, we call them, into kind of crime and dysfunction.
And you're talking about housing opportunities for people everywhere. It's called HOPE 6, and it's a program that allowed people to move out of housing projects that were centered in a city into neighboring suburbs, and describe what you believe happened in Memphis after they moved.
I mean, HOPE 6 is a little bit different because HOPE 6 sort of rebuilds nice projects. The problem was that very few people ended up back in HOPE 6. Instead, they just ended up moving around the city in a sort of chaotic fashion, not in a controlled way. And what happened was the police just couldn't keep up with these new patterns. You know, they used to be they had a control over crime. They knew where it was. And, you know, there weren't great things about that either. It's like they could point their finger and say, oh, we can just go to the housing projects, and so that wasn't great. But the fact is that once people spread around the city, they really couldn't keep a hold on it. They really didn't know where people were. There were a lot of new patterns of crime. Memphis has a tiny police department compared to, you know, other places with similar crime rates, and so everything sort of got out of control.
Your article notes a lot of anecdotal information in Memphis as well as in other cities like Atlanta and St. Louis, but it's really short on numbers like crime rates, how much the percentages change, for example, or how many people did move, and how what the condition of those communities were in prior to those people moving into those neighborhoods.
Right. Well, what I intended to do was just start a conversation. I mean, the fact is there's so little research on this. I mean, I'm not a sociologist. I'm not a crime researcher. In Memphis, the situation was a little bit different just because they had one academic happens to have unbelievable access to arrest statistics, and he happens to be married to the woman who has unbelievable access to housing numbers. And that's extremely rare because housing numbers are pretty private and they're not really shared, and police are usually reluctant to give up their exact arrest statistics. This was just an unusual situation where Memphis had ended up number one on the crime list, and these guys happened to have this great information, and I happened to come upon them. But in other cities, you know, you have one or two researchers sometimes doing it. You know, you have anecdotal evidence, oh, yeah, this neighborhood used to look like this and now looks like this. There's been a lot of research done on gangs, you know, the movement of gangs and how the gangs have moved out into the suburbs. But it is going to take some serious sociological and criminological research for people to actually start putting the real numbers together. That's sort of beyond me.
And, yeah, finally, my last question, and that's exactly what some people have criticized the article for, saying that there was very little evidence, very little research has done in the overall programs of these affordable housing projects, and that perhaps some of the conclusions that the link, the causation between the people moving into those neighborhoods was a dangerous conclusion to make.
I agree with them that it's a dangerous conclusion to make. That doesn't mean it's not true. For me, it's dangerous because governments tend to be unsubtle, and so this information tends to get sort of handed over to congressional committees who just decide, okay, forget this housing policy. We're not going to spend any money on housing, and that would be the absolute worst thing that they can do. You know, let's not spend any money on HOPE 6. But that doesn't mean it's not true. I mean, the fact is there is a lot more research to be done. But I think the tendency of people is to just shut down this conversation, which is what's been going on in Memphis and other cities, whereas you look around the country, and it's obviously true. I mean, you had this great experiment that happened in the early 90s, which was very controlled, which everyone relies on, which says, you know, the people do much better when they move around the cities. And in some cities, you got great housing departments, which actually did that, which actually controlled where people went and made people really nice houses. But in many cities, especially cities that are pretty poor,
right.
Like Memphis. No, you know, everyone just sort of, they blew up the housing projects, gave them a Section 8 voucher, said go where you want, and a lot of neighborhoods kind of tipped over the edge. And so it seems pretty obvious. I mean, you just need to drive around and talk to the few researchers who have done the evidence, and then hopefully people will do more. So I hope it doesn't just shut down the conversation, but I hope it also doesn't just, you know, turn into cut off the housing money.
Hannah Rosen, writer for the Atlantic Monthly, many thanks.
Sure.
Also on the line with us is Xavier D'Souza Briggs. He's a professor of sociology and urban planning at MIT. And Xavier, do you agree that it's just obvious?
No, it's not obvious at all. And to hear Ms. Rosen on your program this morning, she's saying much more research is needed, but she doesn't give you that sense in the article. She wants us to believe both that moving lots of people out of public housing helped to make certain neighborhoods much poorer and that it led to a spike in crime. And here and there, she sort of says, well, the areas may have been declining already and whatnot. But the problem is this article has already become fodder for lots of right-wing bloggers. There are terrible stereotypes about people living in public housing, even though many of the crimes committed in and around the projects are not committed by people actually living in them.
So tell us about what's happening from where you've been observing in terms of the overall program beyond Memphis, because that is just one component.
Well, there are a couple pieces. Number one, Ms. Rosen is right that lots of folks who were moved out of public housing did not move back into the redeveloped Hope 6 townhomes and whatnot, which are very beautiful in many cases, and they're drawing in lots of market rate tenants. And mixed income housing is a good thing. They're much less segregated than they used to be. And there wasn't sufficient provision made for where the other folks would live. Many of them were handed vouchers and told good luck, and some did fall between the cracks. And as her article points out, and this is the real service it does, I think lots of these folks need intensive services, and not enough attention was given to that. But generally, people who move vouchers are quite satisfied.
Xavier, let me just interrupt you here. But is that part of the problem, and is that why she's making some of the conclusions in looking at what's gone on in Memphis as well as in St. Louis and in Chicago, that perhaps these people were not prepared to move?
I think it is. We have pretty good evidence that it is a part of the problem, and that's a healthy line in her story. I don't know if it would have led to the, I don't know if it should have led to the title American Murder Mystery, but it is a problem.
And so what, in some places, these voucher and Hope 6 programs have been very successful, and others, as we've just noted, there's been some troubles. Can you tell us about where there have been some successes?
There have been terrific successes in Atlanta, beautiful redevelopments done, St. Louis as well, Boston, Chicago has done more of this redevelopment than anybody else because it decided to bring down all those awful high-rise projects, Robert Taylor, Cabrini Green, all these
notorious.
Projects. I'm sorry?
Notorious.
They really were. I mean, they were just synonyms for decay and all that was wrong with low-income housing. And, you know, there again, there were enormous numbers of people that were whose lives were affected by this, and some of the transformation has been rocky, but many thousands of people have leased up with vouchers, and some are moving back into redeveloped buildings, and some are happy enough with their vouchers that they are not interested, frankly, in moving in just because they can have higher rate tenants around them.
So more chapters to come. Xavier D'Souza Briggs, professor of sociology and urban planning at MIT, many thanks, and we'll put you on speed dial. Sure, this conversation will come up again.
Thanks, Adora.
Okay,
that's
John, affordable
I remember
housing.
Those, I remember those Robert Taylor homes in Chicago when I went to college. They were looming on the skyline. Not anymore.
It's hard to miss, actually.
Keep your responses coming to anything you heard on today's show. Send us your stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE. We're talking about Iraq. We're talking about Zimbabwe. We're talking about how distracted you are. We love your stories. And also, following markets worldwide, last week was ugly. What will be the story this week?
Absolutely. $143 a barrel. That's what oil prices are lurking around. We're going to watch and see if that continues.
Another week, another record, another, oh my God, here we go.
Phone emails.